Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, Radio Islam listeners, to Teacher Moms 2019. Listeners can WhatsApp questions and comments to 083-306-7940. We are available on medium wave 1548, satellite free to air decoder, audio sharing at radioislam.co.za and DSTV channel 826. You are with Shaista Token and myself, Sumaya Bulbulia.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, back from a restful December holiday and back to the grind. I think with summer holidays now being officially over, we have started the year with a lot of buzz. Whether it's covering of books, purchasing last-minute stationery, or even signing our kids up for activities for 2019.
You know, Shah, I think although a lot of people have gone back into work in the first week of Jan already, first day of school, getting your kids into routine, it cements that this year has begun, let's get started, and the holiday vibes are now over.
And I think the challenging part is forming that initial routine, because you must remember, we are now starting schools on a Wednesday as opposed to a Monday for kids. So while mothers like us who are teacher moms are going back to school for the 2 days before our kids go back, we are already in routine, and we are not there to make sure our kids are following some sort of routine.
Yes, so that, getting the kids ready for the first day of school in terms of breaking holiday routine, sleeping, like interrupted sleeping habits, their overall eating habits, which are totally destroyed in the holidays. We are not there to sort of push it into routine. And this year, I actually thought that it's so conflicting for us as mummies who are teachers as well, because first day of school is universally such an important day. And while other parents take a day off of work to be there for their kids, we are conflicted because we want to be there for your kids, but we are leaving our kids in the hands of trusted colleagues.
I think it is quite sad on that first day if you are not given the permission to settle your own kids into their schools. Like, for example, my son started grade 8 and I was very privileged to be there on the first day. But had it been a situation where I needed to be at my own school, I would feel like my heart is not fully at school, because I need to be, my presence was required and so important for my child to be there on the first day. And Sumaya, a lot of parents who work as well aren't able to take the days off, so it's a very difficult situation.
It's a conflicting day, because sometimes there are teachers who are employed at schools where first day is so bustling, so busy, that there is no way their principal can allow them even that hour to assist their child. So you are leaving your child in the hands of either a family member, hoping that they settle in. But in your heart, you know the worry that you are experiencing.
So just a message out there for teacher moms, fellow teacher moms. We understand the situation you're in, and we appreciate the fact that you are putting your own emotional and your family needs aside and being there for the kids that are starting school at the school that you are teaching. I think the acknowledgement
needs to be given.
Yes, it needs to be given.
There's so much more to school readiness than just packing that bag or getting the lunch ready for that day. You know, I think the 1 or 2 weeks leading up to the first day of school, mummies are panicked, but we often forget that children go through anxiety as well.
Back to school was a topic that we chose especially because of the grade 1 and grade 8 entry grades into schools. And I think discussing that or focusing our talks on that today will be just to help parents then settle those kids in. As you said, there's so many things on our mind and the stress that we're placed in when it comes to new schools and new situations our children are in. For some parents, where it's not an entry level or a new school, you simply drop your child at a parking lot and they are fine to do what they've been doing all the years. For others, when it comes to grade 1 and grade 8, the settling in period is much longer. So what I've done is, as you know, Sumaya, I conducted a workshop recently. It was called High School Hiccups. But let me not ignore the fact that grade 1 is also a very big hiccup in a child's life, because very different from grade R.
Yes, and you know what, I think that family members in society also sometimes, in trying to applaud a child for going to big school, we sometimes make the child anxious, because they... Remember, grade R is a very formal process now, and it's government regulated. Our grade R teachers have to meet notional times. They have to submit portfolios, but we still have this attitude towards kids that you are now going to big school for grade 1. So I think some kids, they embrace that and they love it and it energizes them, but for some kids that causes them a lot of anxiety.
I think if you have to compare grade R from maybe even 5 years ago, it's more structured, more organized. I think teachers have a lot more demands placed on them in terms of administration, and the play aspect has been very limited. If you choose to do the extra murals, you're actually doing it now post your school day for grade R as well, and it's creating a lot of burnout in the kids. So I think that balance, which we're going to speak about later on how to balance your child's life at schools, is also very important from the grade R phase.
Yes, particularly, I think also because the work is structured. So even in the first week of school, the grade R teachers are getting the kids used to a bit of structure. Remember, pre-grade R, even the work was done in a very playful form. And my little one, my baby, started grade R this year, and he was so nervous. Alhamdulillah, his teacher made it so easy. But he had not been napping during the day for almost 2 years now, but every day this week, or rather the school week, he's come home completely finished, slept in the afternoon, and was in bed at normal school times again.
And I think we have to take cognizance to the fact that it's not only physical exertion that makes you tired, it's also mental exertion, which the kids are going through now at schools. So Sumaya has come up with 3 R's, which I always tell the children in who I coach to put into place, and as well as parents. I think parents play a very big role in this. And the first is called research, the first R. Research into the code of conduct of the school, whether it's grade 1 or grade R, you are talking to your child, okay, this is how... this is the day you start school, this is the time you start school, this is the time you end school, this is the uniform requirements. And I think what schools have been lacking, especially in Indonesia, which I found a niche for during the coaching, was orientation. A child is not physically taken the day before their first day around the premises. It's little things like finding the toilet or the taps.
Yes, like a school tour. And I do know of some schools who give the grade R a school tour. And I know for the first week of school, the grade R's are not allowed to have lunch with the rest of the school, because remember, the other kids are physically very active and these are little babies in the school. And props to those schools for doing it.
And I think the orientation assists that transition period very easily. Like, kids are not completely like lost sheep on that first day. It makes them a bit confident. Okay, I've been to the premises before. I know how it looks. I can understand if they don't show them the classrooms and things. But I think in general, if you're starting a new school, an orientation is vital. The second R, which I talk about, is rehearsal. So almost like prepping your child towards going to school, where if it's a grade 1 child, you're going to say, okay, let's see, do you know how to tie your shoelace? Because again, you are forming a bit of independence from that whole Montessori grade R type of thing into now a primary school. Do you know what's in your lunch tin, unzipping bags, unzipping pencil cases? And then for the grade 8s, they should pack their own school bags, because now they are used to a timetable which they need to be prepared for. So again, eliminating any sort of anxiety.
But actually, Shaista, I think that as parents as well as teachers, we should put the timetable habit into our learners from grade 4. Because grade 4 is when they are starting to follow a structured timetable with different educators. And maybe grade 4, grade 5, as parents, watch your child pack their school bag the night before. And then from grade 8, they need to be responsible themselves. If you have forgotten a book, it is not mommy's fault. it is your responsibility.
I think that's also very important, is that grade 4 emotional changeover. And we spoke about it in previous shows, and I do agree with you with regards to a parental assessment and involvement in both those grades.
But I think all the grades of change are so vital, and sometimes we concentrate on the grade 1 and grade 8, but we often forget grade 4, grade 10 and grade 12. Yeah. Okay, grade 12, the whole country is watching you. Congratulations for making it to matric. We all support you guys. But grade 10 parents, I've met so many parents who are like, it's time to get serious now. So the morning of your child starting grade 10, it's a new phase. It's that first step towards grade 12, towards adulthood.
And I think also choosing the correct subjects for your career, you actually get a taste now of, am I suited for the career, because you're doing the subjects leading up to the choice of university degrees.
Definitely. And then grade 4, it's the first time our babies are not with one teacher. And having that one teacher throughout the school day is a comfort. It's like a mummy in the classroom. So grade 4 is where they have to get used to doing different subjects according to a timetable, taking books out, putting it back into their bags at a quick pace, working according to time limits. And although they are prepped in grade 3, remember in grade 4, it's a new teacher coming into the class every 40 minutes.
Again, reiterating what you said, the rehearsal things, teach your child time. If you give them even something to do at home for 30 minutes, you should make them aware when that time has lapsed. It will get them used to the timetable and following structure and finishing chores on time. And so we spoke about research, rehearsal, and now the last one was routine, which you're going to emphasize later. So it's things like getting them early to bed, forming a routine on a school night so that they are refreshed in the mornings, getting good nutrition in them for breakfast. A lot of kids whom I have interacted with skip breakfast, and yet that is the fuel for their brain for the day. You must know different schools have different times for first break. And again, now if you're at a new school and times have changed, you're either pulling it to a later time or it's coming earlier than expected. So you need to anticipate these type of changes. And then also a structured time, a routine every day after school. You're going to have playtime and then you're going to have homework time. So parents, please put some structure into your children's life. It just makes the coping of the entire process easier.
You know, breakfast is so important, and it's so important to give something nutritional, because I've actually seen learners who are like dead till first break, and as soon as they come back from break, their brains are awake, they're working properly, and you see it's actually that food has given them that energy, so it's something that shouldn't be skipped or overlooked. It's that 10 minutes that's vital for their brain activity. Then sleep, so important, because I've actually heard this from a neurosurgeon who has told me that everything we do or learn during the day is only absorbed into our brain when we sleep. So making sure that children get that 8 to 10 hours of sleep is so vital for everything that we've invested in during the day to pay off.
And I think about it, as adults, when we have sleep deprivation, we're almost non-functioning. So if a child is having sleep deprivation and they exert so much more energy in a day than we do, actually speaking, it's a detriment to their health.
And I think the routine is important to build up to towards the first day of school, because remember that preparing for something, it almost makes the process easier. Look, first day back at school is never easy. It's like January is never easy on our finances. Every year we think we're preparing for it, and then come January and it's never not a shock to anyone.
And there have been concurrent shows on the price of stationery and the price of uniforms. So here you're coming back from a holiday already broke into a new month, waiting for month end, and then you have all these high costs.
Logically, we're supposed to be preparing for it, but when you're in that holiday vibe, you know, we just have that let-go attitude. But like you said, it's been spoken about so much this week. So let's look at it from a different point of view. Just maybe laying out the kids' clothes the night before, having them pack their stationery into their pencil case, putting the school bags maybe by the front door. It's already creating that mindset of back to school. And then also it's making that morning of the first day of school a bit easier to get through.
Definitely. Now, Sumaya, I think let's talk about school blues. Whether it's new teachers, new environments, new school, it's new peers as well. And I think it's very important for us to coach our children to know that there's three things you can do when entering a school premises that will make everything so much easier, be it with a new teacher and a new child that's in your class. The first being smiling. I think that's an icebreaker in itself. A person that smiles represents something about their being without them speaking. So we need to teach our children to smile at those around them.
And you know, Shasta, this works both ways because if you smile, like you said, it makes you more approachable. But also for the child that is so nervous that he cannot or she cannot put a smile on their face, looking at smiling faces breaks the ice and sort of alleviates that child's stress.
The tension, definitely. The second, Sumaya, is greeting. It's such an important thing that's been actually done away with. You enter a classroom, the children no longer stand to greet, or you walked amongst your peers in who are in groups and you walk past them and there's no greeting. So again, the awareness of greeting those around you, firstly, not because it's only a sunnah, but also it actually makes the situation more comfortable. It shows respect. It gains respect.
And for maybe a shy person, it allows them to want to respond. It creates that environment for communication. And I think we've spoken about greeting in so many shows, but it's something that we should never stop talking about. As an educator and adult, sometimes I walk past groups of kids and they don't greet you and you get a bit frustrated. But I've now trained myself to remind them. Rather be, we are the bigger people. So be the bigger person and be like, guys, salam, I'm like, greet,
yes,
you
yes,
know,
yes.
Sort of coax them into greeting because they are kids and sometimes it's an ego thing, sometimes they're just distracted, so we need to reinforce this greeting habit within them.
And as parents, I think when your child enters or leaves a home, you should make it a habit because once something becomes a habit, it's like a second nature and your child will automatically do it in your absence as well. The third thing to mention about the school blues and how to overcome them is assistance. Assist your peers or volunteer to assist your teacher. If they, like I was very proud of my grade 8 child. He was in a completely new environment, didn't know a soul in his classroom, changed over from the secular to an Islamic school. And the first day he came home and he said, Mom, I volunteered to be the class captain because no one else put up their hand. And I said, wow, I'm so proud of you. And making your children not only confident to assist, but also telling them that it's important to help others. I think that's also what parents and educators can do.
And this is so relatable to me today, actually, Shaisa, because we were in a very stressful situation. We chose to, after much deliberation, to move our kids' school. And so the entire holiday, it wasn't just the normal back-to-school anxiety. We were worried, as parents, have we made the right choice? Obviously, we made this choice by making lots of dua, sitting and making mushwera, but taking advice from both sets of our parents, but it's still a stress. My child is in a new environment, new friends, new school year, and we didn't know what to expect. And we walked into the new school, alhamdulillah, it was such a seamless process. I have to commend the school, but also for the peers of my little ones, because they were welcoming. And I saw the stress in my children's faces, and they saw familiar as well as unfamiliar faces. You know, with our extracurricular activities, there are kids that overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. And but they were so welcoming to them. So sometimes if you teach your child assistance, besides for it just being beneficial to them, it alleviates the stress and pressure of children who are in an uncomfortable situation as well.
Wonderful. I read an article recently, one of the dads put onto social media about his daughter starting a new school, and she was very nervous at first and things like that. And then she would always ask him to fetch her early from school. And then he noticed over a 1 week period that this was becoming habitual. And he said, people learn to listen to your kids, but also learn to observe your kids. So what he noticed is that she was not the happy young girl that he once knew. So he had to remove her from the school again. It is not a hard and fast decision. It may be difficult to take a transfer so early on in the year, but you can do it after first term, to all parents out there. But look at your child's situation and see, are they actually happy? Listen to them and say, what are the adjustment problems? I think communication is so important with our kids. They are spending majority of their day at schools. They need to be in an environment where they feel safe and where they feel happy.
But also, a thing to note on that is don't be impulsive. Like 3 days into the school year is not enough to make a decision to remove your child from a new environment. Remember, any new environment requires an adjustment period. So like this parent said, he observed his child. Besides just listening, he observed her behavior as well. So it takes time, and some children with time will adjust and sort of revert to their old happy selves or even become a better child in the new environment, and some children just don't. So it's about parental awareness.
And also, I think equipping our kids to situations where you will not always be in the situation where you're happy all the time. You need to learn to cope in those situations. So making them a bit tougher. So if your environment is producing these type of extrinsic factors to you, deal with it. This is put some things into place. So as a parent, advise your child. If you are in a situation where you're not fitting in, try to maybe hang out with classmates or do certain things where you're learning how to cope with bad situations.
Yes, there are coping measures that need to be taken before drastic change decisions are taken. But let's talk a little bit about parental readiness, because we all talk about our kids' school readiness. It also takes a lot emotionally for parents leading up to the first day of school. I know there's much talk about what age my child should start school, and it's so vital that parents don't take a decision based on their wants, but rather on observing their child and according to that child's needs.
I think there's a lot of government guidelines that are put into place of whether your child is ready to enter grade one. And just based on a grade R or Montessori teacher's opinion on your child is ready is not enough anymore, because not only is an academic evaluation necessary, emotional evaluations are necessary. Children will fly through the foundation phase so easily and then come to grade four, and then the maturity is not matched to their peers. So you're having a situation of playing catch up all the time. So calm the process down and say to yourself, from grade R, which is now a structured classroom environment, you have 12 years in which your child is not going to be playing at home and even playing at schools, at nursery school, or painting, or doing types of activities that are very important for their motor skills. So parents should be very cognizant to the fact that every child is different. I do understand you get the high flyers and that in grade R or even at nursery, where you can see a child is ready for school. But then again, you are only visually perceiving that. Get a proper assessment done either by an OT or educational psychologist.
And also be emotionally aware, because remember, at especially grade one level, children love to compare ages. And at our age, we prefer to be younger. But at that young age, it's like, I'm 7 and I'm 6 and you only 5. And sometimes a child actually feels victimized for being the youngest in the class, and it holds them back from performing to the best of their ability. Remember, parents, there is a reason these guidelines have been put into place. So observe your child, and sometimes an extra year now is not the biggest train smash. In the bigger picture of life, it doesn't matter if your child started school at 6 or 7. It matters that your child is coping.
Let's talk about the other adjustments that happen every year. Like, we had a parent that sent an SMS in about the child came home on the first day and the school bag that was bought was just not big enough because the particular school had so many textbooks that they require every day to be brought to school. Firstly, I think schools need to also assist on this side. I don't know about you, Samia, but we've put in so many strategies in play now at schools where we keep textbooks at school, one set of textbooks at school, and then kids have one set of textbooks at home. So it alleviates the entire heavy bag scenario, and year after year, these heavy bags are causing a lot of uproar. I read this article the other day about physiotherapists that released a statement to say 79% of the kids in our country have back age problems in primary school, and that's just ridiculous.
But there's also a cost factor, because if your child is attending an affluent school, then it's possible to have a set of textbooks in school and one at home. But if you look at the general school, we are fighting for funds, for every cent, for everything.
I think that is true. A very good point to look at is, unfortunately, as much as we would like schools to play their part, it's just a budget and it becomes around financial issues.
But there are methods to work around, or rather to get around that. I've seen learners who just have their workbooks in their bag, and then in the morning they carry their textbooks in their hand. So it's about being responsible, because obviously then the child has to be cognizant of where they leave their textbooks, making sure that they carry that stack of books off the dining room table to the car, off the car to the classroom. But that also puts maybe lessens the pressure on the back.
And then it places a strain on, will my books get stolen? I don't know about you, but recently at schools there have been a lot of theft. If the schools don't have cameras, things get stolen, and textbooks now are not necessarily numbered. According to the physiotherapist, the backpack or the bag that your child is carrying should be around 10 to 15% of the body weight. So it shouldn't be now these 7 kg bags they're not going checking, because it's a daily thing. So ways to cope should be, use adjustable straps to assist your child. So if your child has a bag that's been carried on their shoulders, make sure that you can adjust the strap so that the weight varies on positions of the back. So higher up would be the shoulders, lower up would be middle of the back, and right down, if you adjust the strap, would be lower back.
And not just one shoulder.
Right, so that was the second one, is always insist that they carry their bags on two shoulders, because dividing the balance of the weight, parents out there see their kids struggle. It's a sad situation. And as you said, okay, get the extra bag, maybe put the textbook in, but then that's a tedious thing. It's remembering two bags every day.
And I think that's okay for the elder child,
right,
not the young.
Yeah.
But also, don't purchase a school bag just for aesthetics.
Yes.
Consider all these factors when purchasing your child's school bag. But also, we know this is a costly affair. And I think children don't appreciate, you know, they just throw their bags everywhere. And that's
definitely
the nature of a child. We can't even, we can't complain too much about that.
I know my kids, they cringe when I tell them, you know, the trolley bags work like a bomb. But they say, gosh, we'll be like
trolley.
Yeah, it will be like almost traveling bags. But look, we have to actually tell our children, it's not that bad, you should do these things. Or again, we can't simply change the entire process. It's going to happen. We need to learn how to
work around it. Yes, definitely. Another tip for parents, in getting your child ready every morning, start your day off with a dua. Make a dua yourself in the morning for your child, because there's nothing as powerful as a parent's dua. And then instill it in your child, breakfast time, fajr time, to make a dua that their day goes well. Play Yasin in the car, so that we're putting them in that mindset, and we're teaching them of the barakah that the Quran actually puts into their day.
You know, it's strange you mention that, because this week I was so impressed that certain schools actually do this. At the start, the very beginning of the school day, they ease the kids into the day with a prayer. In the old days, I don't know if you remember, that we used to say...
We used to stand
and say an English prayer. Now they recite either a Fatiha or Yasin, which is brilliant, because it just creates a sense of calm and a sense of
peace.
And the
secular schools as well, who just do a general diverse prayer, it just puts that awareness of God, of Allah Ta'ala, putting greatness into your day.
Okay, we're going to now take an ad break and come back to school topics and conversation with Sumaya and myself, Shaista.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Teacher Moms. Getting into the first week of school is not like the old days anymore. I have very fond memories of actually preparing the games and whatever we were going to do in the first 2 weeks of school, because we knew we were just going to be sitting in our classrooms, and it was a long process before we were actually going into our actual like school day, changing periods, doing work. But those days are over. First day of school, your child comes home with his full set of school books, textbooks, assessment plans, term planners, etc.
Definitely. I think when our kids now go to schools, our teachers are on the ball. The schools are actually so well organized with the LTSM. The classroom tables are set. I remember looking at a few profile pictures and I was so impressed, because the classrooms are beautiful. They've cleaned. The textbooks and the workbooks are on the table. So when a child comes in the morning, apart from being put into their classes already, they can actually start work.
And it gives them that sort of let's go attitude. And I think every mommy out there can relate to just being tired of covering books this week.
No, definitely. And I think when you hit the ground running like that, where children come on that first day and these structures are in place and the organization, it also puts their mind at ease to say, you know what, the whole holiday I chilled, it's now time for work.
Shaisa, I have a very funny story that I actually thought of now. Every time I look at a timetable, I remember that the very first school my dad taught at, and he was there for many years. He was like furniture. So when they used to do timetables, they used to do it on a pegboard hanging on the wall, because there wasn't technology. So it wasn't just inserting a whole lot of data and the system providing a timetable. They had to actually work out where the clashes were going to be, run the timetables. Then you had actual clashes where two classes entered the same classroom. Then the teacher's like, sorry, there's a problem, run to the office. You know, rearrange that. But my sister was about a year and just walking, my baby sister, and we had gone to visit my daddy at the office. And I don't know what she thought this was, because it was colorful, obviously, pegboard being color-coded, classroom, subjects, etc. And all the teachers as well as my mom were chatting, and she was sitting at this board and she was just learning to sort of walk, and she rearranged the pegboard, and everyone like having their hearty chat. And when they turned around and they realized that this timetable, which was still in the process of being figured out, had not been like put on paper yet, and now was totally disassembled, it like amounted in some panic. And till today, when the colleagues, or rather the staff of that school, meet up with our family, they joke about how they had extra time off that year because the timetables had to be started off from scratch.
And I love that the memory brings back such laughter and fondness, because we must remember, as much as we seem professional, organized, or ready, I think there's things that happen, things get thrown into the loop, unforeseen circumstances. So chaos literally becomes the order of the day, but we remain calm and we try and just do our best.
And alhamdulillah, technology has made it so easy. I have to, as a parent, commend our principals, our colleagues and staff of all school, including the assistants, the support staff, because first week of school has become a seamless process. I mentioned to you guys that my kids had started a new school this year, so we thought it was going to be like a full day process. 15 minutes assembly, put into their classes, it was seamless. And I think that, like you said, behind the scenes, it's not. The principals are in chaos. The staff members are in chaos. But alhamdulillah, I have to commend the schools, especially the principals, for making this process so easy. So after we left from the school, we thought we were so unique, and we had this bright idea, like, hubby took the day off and I have time to get back to like work, whatever, let's have a quick breakfast at Wimpy. So we walk into Wimpy and every other couple is sitting and having breakfast, and I suppose it's just one of the fun things.
And I think as principals and management of schools, when parents come on that first day, you have to project the image of control. I think it's a very important first impression, and I think we need to, as we're saying, with things happening behind the scenes, no one else needs to know what is actually going on.
And I think it gives parents that breathe easy, that relief, sort of, my child is in good hands. So even if you're leaving a crying child behind for your grade one, grade R parents, even playgroup parents, you know that looking at this well-organized team, that your child is in good hands. However, sometimes we do have the schools that are in chaos, where people are coming on the first day of school, parents desperate for place in the school, and there are queues outside the school, they are still sorting out logistics, and our thoughts are with you as well. We know, and for parents out there, it's not an easy job, as much as you prepare that day, as easy as you prepare for it to run, it sometimes just has its hiccups.
Now, speaking from the parental point of view, as we said, if educators and principals and staff show this projected image of calm, I think it's important as a parent as well. You must remember your child is looking up to you to reassure them that you are calm. So even though you may have 1,001 thoughts or anxiety processes going on within you, you need to project to your child a situation of calm and control. And I think especially to parents get excited on that first day because, as you're saying, you've got the covering of the books, but then again, you've got those term planners. And the term planners are very informative because they've got the assessments for already March and you're only in January. So it creates a lot of anxiety in parents and a lot of panic. And how much should I prepare my child now for something that's coming up, like a situation for later on. What we can do as parents is make copies of these planners, put on the fridge so that you are very organized and you are aware of what's going on in your child's life. That's with the new smartphone technology.
Put reminders on your phone.
Reminders, and our calendars are linked to email, the D6 now, which is D6 Connect, which is amazing. It's no longer D6 Communicator because the Connect app, what it does is if your child has even a demerit at school, immediately an email is sent to the parent. If your child's book wasn't present at school, if homework wasn't being done, parents are aware on the day it happens. It's no longer like you come for a parent meeting and you're given an entire thesis on what your child is doing wrong. So I think parents are more in the loop than ever before, and we should appreciate the fact that social media is a great advantage.
But keep in mind, there are still a lot of schools that are not on these systems, and they are doing, or rather communicating with parents purely through newsletters. So as much as it is the responsibility of your child to provide the newsletter, coax your child, but even our high school learners, because the first week is haphazard. So did you receive a newsletter? Have you received your assessment plan? Let's have a look at it. While it can be daunting, it's been given this week to allow for preparation so that nothing is
left in ignorance or last minute. And I think I mentioned in the previous show, Sumaya, is there's never an excuse. You as a parent, even if you're working the 8-to-6 job, just open your child's school bag. It's a simple thing, like you can see what was done or what wasn't done.
And this is where I love to stress to parents about your child's mindset and creating this positive or supportive mindset. You know, like you mentioned, that you are anxious. Your children are anxious. And I know a lot of grade 1 mummies or grade R mummies who, it's such an emotional day for them. Wait till you get into the car to cry. Don't let your baby see you crying. And then also when I think of the bigger kids, changing to a new school, going from primary school to high school, sometimes your child is nervous and it shows in their body language, in their face. But you often find them glancing back from the assembly, and when they see you, you just see that relief wash over them. So sometimes projecting that image of strength to your child is just to allow them to experience their emotions and process it properly. And it's not that you're not going through the same thing. We all know what a parent's worry is, but it's just to be there, to let your child know that you have a support system. It's so important, and even for the parents who cannot physically be there, to prep your child in the morning, and just often tell them, like, you've got this, you know, mommy and daddy are in your corner, you've got this.
And also when they come home from work, the fact that they still show that interest after a long day of work, the child is waiting to tell the parent, this is what happened. I think make it a big deal, whichever grade your child is in, that first day of school should be rewarded with a special chocolate in the lunchbox, some sort of emotional attachment to be there for them on that first day.
Or even, the first day of school has passed, even if you haven't done that actively, today, like, be like, guys, well done, we made it through the first day of school. Remember, this is a collective affair, parents with their children. We've made it through the first week of school. Let's go full force into tomorrow. So tonight, again, because this was the first weekend of the first week of school, get them off early to bed, have them pack their books, make sure all homework is done so there's no panic tomorrow morning. And
I have a question here from a parent, and it says, my child is in grade 7 this year, and the maths mark from 2018, grade 6, wasn't what was expected from my child. I am now panicking about a situation of, did he take on too many extramurals last year? Should I get him into tuition for mathematics this year? And I am worried that the classes are going to fill up without giving him a chance before I decide on tuition. So I think, Sumaya, let's talk about that, because I know me as well, at the start of the year, you need to know, okay, are you doing soccer? Are you doing swimming? Are you doing this? Getting into the groove of making sure your child's lives are full and you want to balance them from academic. But then are we not panicking at a too early start of the year?
Sometimes we get so refreshed, or so, like, you know, that oomph and that boom
after
to start the beginning of the year, and to beat the blues, that we want to overburden our child, or we overestimate what we can do, what our children can do. Can we actually drive our kids to 4 extramurals? Can we afford it into our monthly budget? Sometimes we, like you said, we panic or we get overexcited. So think it through. Maybe this mommy, because of her the previous low mark, maybe it would be a good idea to get her kid into tuition from day one so that he doesn't or she doesn't miss out on any of the work covered. But for the mommy or daddy who wants just, you know, that extra maybe a few percentage, but your child is already coping, you can give it a week or two, keeping in mind that all activities and most tuition classes also get filled by the end of January. So you have to make a careful decision. Shaista, what I want to touch on is, we've spoken a lot about the first week of school, but there's a lot of value in continuing that presence in your child's schooling life. So, okay, I took off of work for the first day of school, but maybe my child needs to use transport every other day. Prep your child for that. I know many nursery schools need a list of who would be possibly picking or dropping your child off. Make sure that you inform the school of all the possible parties. Also, continuing this momentum.
I think a lot of parents guilt themselves. Touching on both the things that you've spoken about, we guilt ourselves to say, well, the maths mark was poor because I did not send my child for maths tuition. So this year already you've had that in mind. And then with regards to the transport, you guilt yourself to not be able to physically take them yourselves and say, well, okay, you're going in a transport situation. Don't make it a big deal for the child. If the child has to travel with transport, so be it. The child's getting to school on time. And I think just make sure the person that's taking your child is a personality your child is comfortable with. And I think, again, where it comes to that child that is now deciding to do extramurals, I think choose things that your child actually wants to partake in and not what is popular or common around
you. Or not what you want for your child, because particularly with sport, sometimes it's more about the parental obsession about making your child a star in a particular sport. So always look at what suits your child, look at what suits your family, and doesn't put strain on the budget. That is so important. And also, preparation, preparation, preparation.
Samaya, I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but I feel like parents, again, with that guilt concept that we've been talking about, that conscience, parental involvement now means taking your child and standing at the place where the extramural is conducted. But I feel parental involvement doesn't need to be an activity at all for the child. It can just be you and your child going for milkshake chatting. Parental involvement is actually your presence with the child and not the extramural and what are you providing to the child. So a lot of times what is lost is the connection between parents. And if you are a parent who does not have the school right to school, your communication is lost in that vital morning. You need to make it up. You need to constantly be talking to children. Children nowadays are not like in the past where they don't want to share with their parents. Now we have an overshare, where be it on social media, with statuses, how they feel, or even coming home and telling us, oh, I had a bad day. So children want to talk to their parents now, and the generation gap has actually shortened. So I think parental involvement, guys, should be not that you are providing an extramural, but being the extramural for your child.
And be that comforting, driving, supportive force in your child's life. We spoke about the parent who's not there asking your child about the first day of school, but make it a habit every day. I know my husband, for example, he doesn't get home till the late afternoon, sometimes evening, and the children are like all rushing at him, and sometimes I'm rushing at him, and he's like, whoa, guys, I can only talk to like one of you at a time. But he actually sits there and then like, okay, number one, tell me about your day. And then sometimes the children actually come back to us because they may not be comfortable telling you a story immediately, and then later in the day it's been playing on their mind, so they need to offload. Make yourself available. Know what is happening in your child's life. That is the only way that we can provide them with guidance, because remember, the world has grown so much. Social media has made it smaller, but what the possibilities out there are no longer just in our visible sight. So you need to know what your child is up to and what they are doing. Also regarding the first week of school, sometimes children don't have a very great first week of school. So reiterate to your child that even though everybody's like going full force at it, teachers do sort of give children that leeway. We know it's an emotional adjustment. We know that everyone's getting back into the vibes of the year. So always reinforce to your child that the teacher is not against them. The teacher is there to work with them. And then further than that, if you have any worries, communicate it to the school. From day one, schools are there for a reason. There are communication books. Make a meeting with the school. And if you are busy, if you are a working parent, and sometimes it's just the situation you are in, just a phone call to the principal.
That's true. And also, I think, make your kids aware of second chances. Sometimes a first impression is not the only impression. Give them time and tell them, like, guys, settle in. You know, after the first week, you will be full swing into how things are going to be, who the person is. And give the second chance or to the school that you are in now.
Shasta, I'm just getting a question in, and it's quite an interesting one, saying that I needed to take my kids on holiday and they will be missing the first week of school. Is it important or not for them to be there?
Do you know, look, I'm very opinionated about that.
I think
I think I'm quite rigid. In terms of being a teacher, Okay, firstly, let me tell you, as a parent, I would never. But as a teacher, I am very frustrated at the fact that parents want these off-peak holidays because of their finances, and they are depriving their child, as you're saying, of being there in that adjustment period. When the child is back at school, they're overwhelmed immediately. The back foot is already in play. So you're not giving the child the ability to meet their teacher on the first day in a more relaxed environment of chatting, getting to know each other. A lot of icebreakers happen on the first day.
So it's not just the work that is in full force by the second week of school. Remember, relationships are formed in that first week of school. The children are just sort of familiarizing themselves with each other,
the
environment.
Aspect.
You are disadvantaging your child. Don't take that decision lightly. It is something, like I said, we are not in the old days anymore. Work starts day one. I know kids already have been given assessment dates or oral presentations to prepare for the second, third week of school. So your child not being there, they miss vital information, they miss that settling down period, and that is very, very important. Remember, ahead of them is not a term, it's a school year.
Okay, well, that was our hot topic for today, was being rigid about taking holidays during the school year.
Okay, to end off, we'd like to commend all the parents, grade R parents. It was a difficult week for you guys letting your babies go. Well done. Grade 4 parents, our babies are turning into big kids, changing periods, help them along. Grade 8 parents, your kids are no longer the big kids of the school, they're the babies now. Grade 1, it's an adjustment orientation week. Grade 10 parents, we know you guys are all about getting serious. And finally, grade 12 parents, we know the stress that comes with this year. Grade 12 learners, alhamdulillah, you've made it this far. We support you, the country supports you, and again, the staff of the school, jazakallah for all you have done.
Jazakallah to all the listeners for supporting teacher mums in the last year, and inshallah we have a good year, good topics and good communication ahead of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.